I think we can start the session because it's the right time. Very few, but it's okay because the topic is a little bit specific. So, okay, welcome. Good afternoon. I hope your lunch was good, as well as mine. Welcome to the Federating Applications with Office 365 using Windows Azure Active Directory, which is probably the session with the longest title you have ever seen. By the way, I'm Paolo Pialorsi. Here you can find my email address. If you need it, just use it. I will be happy to answer your questions if I can, of course. Let me introduce myself very, very briefly before moving to the real content. I work in a company of my own in Italy, which is my country. I'm a consultant and project manager, and sometimes I'm also a trainer, but mainly a consultant. In my life, I achieved about 40 Microsoft certifications, including the MCM1, and I work on SharePoint mainly. And in the last years, I've wrote about 10 books, most of them for Microsoft Press. The latest one is the SharePoint 2013 Developer Reference, and I have a few copies for giving away at the end of the session. Most of the other copies went away in the previous session, sorry about that. And I'm a speaker as well. That's why I'm here. So, what we will see, we are going to talk about Windows Azure Active Directory. We will understand what is it, what is the architecture of Windows Azure Active Directory, and a little bit about the configuration of Windows Azure Active Directory. And then we will see which are the available authentication and identity models in Office 365 and Windows Azure Active Directory, which sits under the cover of Office 365, so that we will be able to federate custom web or native applications with Windows Azure AD and Office 365. The overall goal of this session, to set properly your expectation, is to see how you can create custom web or native app. That means Windows Store apps, iOS, Android apps, or whatever else, how to create such applications with the capability to authenticate users using exactly the same authentication infrastructure that you have in Office 365, so that your end users will be able to experience a single sign-on experience using your applications. That is good. So, let's start. First of all, what is Windows Azure Active Directory? Well, you probably know that Microsoft provides us a bunch of online services or cloud services, call them whatever you like. And whenever we need to consume an online or a cloud service provided by Microsoft, we have a couple of authentication techniques available by Microsoft itself. The first one is called the Microsoft account, and it was also known as Windows Live ID in the past, but now the name is Microsoft account. And for instance, we use Microsoft account in order to access OneDrive, not OneDrive for business, but OneDrive, Outlook.com, Xbox Live, or many other. For instance, also when you access the MySPC site and you choose to access the site using your Microsoft account credential, you are still using the same authentication engine. On the other side, we have the so-called organizational account. While the Microsoft account relies on a set of credentials that are not related to your company, to your on-premises organization, the organizational account is focused on solving authentication needs in the field of enterprises, of companies. And that's why they call it organizational account. And you can use it in order to authenticate against Office 365, Dynamics, CRM Online, Windows Intune, and many, many other online services. In this session, we will focus our attention on the organizational account, and we will don't care about the Microsoft account authentication engine, okay? The organizational account authentication technique is the one used by Office 365, as I told you. But in reality, under the cover of Office 365, there is Windows Azure Active Directory, WAAD, which is a kind of directory service as a service. Sorry for the trick of words. Because it's a directory service that is provided as a service, as a software as a service to us. And all the tenants of any Office 365 subscription are based on this service, so that all the users are stored and managed by WAAD under the cover. And WAAD provides identity provider capabilities, so it can authenticate users, and it can support specifications like AWS Federation Passive Redirector, for instance. It provides us with the REST-based Graph API. It provides us also a multi-factor authentication engine, which Michael Gideoni showed on Monday morning, and that we will use in this session, because we will see how to create, for instance, a Windows Store app that uses WAAD and multi-factor authentication to consume a service. It relies on a set of open protocols so that it can be integrated and used with multiple software solutions and with multiple platforms. And it provides also a role-based authorization engine, which is not used right now but by Office 365, but that you can use in your own custom solutions if you want. WAAD can be also replicated with your own premises Active Directory domain if you want. You are not obliged to, but if you want, you can. And one key feature is that it is free. As like it was Windows Azure ACS this morning, also WAAD is available for free in its basic offering because there is a premium version that you have to pay for. But right now, the premium version is in preview, so you can play with it, and you will have to pay later when it will become released. Right now, it is still in preview. So usually when you have Windows Azure Active Directory, quite often you have an on-premises directory, even if you are not obliged to. Okay, you could have, usually you have, but you're not obliged to. And if you have an on-premises directory, you can imagine to have an online tenant which will be in sync, a replica of some of the information that you have on your on-premise directory, but on the cloud, thanks to a software tool called DSync that we will see in a few minutes, and which allows us to keep in sync the on-premises directory and the online directory under the cover of a tenant that we could have on WAAD. So that through the WAAD service, we can then access our directory through OAuth 2.0, for instance, if we have an app, web or native app, that want to consume this service for authentication and authorization purposes. We can have the SAML protocol. SAML stands for Security Assertion Markup Language. We could have the SAML protocol support or endpoint available, as well as the AWS Federation endpoint available. We have a Federation metadata endpoint, which can be used to consume the metadata that describe our tenant and the services provided and offered by our tenant. And we also have a Graph API, which is available out of the box, and which allows us to consume the directory from external software solutions, whether because we want to create a custom software solution that relies on the directory, making queries or even writing content inside the directory that is stored in the repository of WAAD, of our tenant in WAAD. But we can also use the Graph API to automate some tasks like creating users or mapping user with licenses or something like that. And in order to manage the Windows Azure Active Directory service, you can use the management portal provided by Windows Azure, because WAD is just yet another service offered through Windows Azure. So you will have to access your management portal with your own account, which can be an organizational or a Microsoft account, and you will be able to manage your own tenant. So let me show you a quick overview, a lap around WAD, just to figure out how it works and what are the services provided by WAD. So let me move to my demo machine. It should be number 6. Yes, it is. And let me start the browser. Now, I want to access the default portal .microsoftonline.com site in order to access, for instance, the admin center of my Office 365 tenant or my profile page. I will use a tenant which is on Microsoft. PSysDev on Microsoft.com is a tenant related to my own company. And I will use this account, Paolo @. I will provide my credentials. And I will access the admin center of Office 365. And of course, this is common and really simple. But under the cover, what is happening? Well, in this tenant, I have a bunch of users configured, about 500, if I remember correctly. And I have a synchronization in place so that I have some of my users that are only in the cloud and some other that are synced with Active Directory. Now, let me open another tab and let me go to Windows Azure. If I click on the portal link, I will have a direct access to the Windows Azure subscription related to this Office 365 subscription and tenant. And inside this management portal of Windows Azure, I will be able, under the Active Directory section in the Directory tab, to see that I have my own tenant available and manageable from the management of Windows Azure. Here I have a list of users which are exactly the same users that I have in Office 365, because this is the real engine under the cover of Office 365. In order to have access to this view and to this management UI, you will have to create a subscription in Windows Azure using an account that is a global admin account of your Office 365 tenant. So you create your tenant. You use a global admin account for that tenant, then you open WindowsAzure.com, you click on Portal, and you will be prompted with a page asking you to create a new subscription if you don't already have one. And that subscription will be automatically provisioned with the management UI for the tenant you want to manage. So it's really simple. And inside this management UI, you can see the users, the groups, if you want to manage a role-based authorization in your own custom solutions. You can see applications. We will use them later. Domains. And in my scenario, I have the PSysDev on Microsoft.com tenant, which is the default tenant created for me by Office 365. And I also have a custom domain, SharePoint-cam.com, which is a domain I registered a few months ago, and which is integrated with an Active Directory on-premises domain so that I have a synchronization in place so that all the users that I have in the list of users for this tenant with a user account at SharePoint-camp.com are users that are replicated, synchronized from my on-prem Active Directory. I can access and use the Windows Azure Active Directory interface to authenticate users, or using only username and password, or if you want, also using the multi-factor authentication. So let me open another browser just to have another session, and let me go again on portal.microsoftonline.com. This time, I will use a Multi-factor authentication enabled user. This is my wife, it's from mine, MFA. PSC's dev on Microsoft.com. And you will see that as soon as I will have provided the right password for this user, I will be prompted with another page in which I will have to insert a PIN code that I will get on my mobile phone. Disclaimer, I'm Italian, I'm in US. My mobile operator sometimes works, sometimes no. So I will try to get the PIN, but if I will not get the PIN, trust me, it works, okay? It's just an issue because I'm outside of my country. And sometimes there is some delay in the process of sending the text message, okay? So cross your fingers with me. And click on sign in. You can hear the sound. I'm waiting for the text message. Please do the sound. How are your fingers? Or crossed? Yeah, we got it. No, it's my wife, sorry. No, just kidding. Okay, and the code is, ladies and gentlemen, the code is 109901. It's a one-time code, so I don't care if you know it, okay? Next time, it will be another code. And now, I will be authenticated using a multi-factor authentication process. Now, the interesting part of the story is not the text message, of course, but it's the fact that I can use a multi-factor authentication engine to access Office 365 as well any custom application, as I will show you later in a following demo, okay? So this is really cool for me. Hope for you too. So back to the slide deck. And let's talk a little bit more about WAD to make it exactly clear what is it and what is it not. Sometimes people misunderstand what WAD is. It is not a replacement for an on-premises set of domain controllers. You cannot use it as a replacement for your domain controllers in your own network. You still need to have a corporate Active Directory or an LDAP directory or whatever you like if you need to manage your users in your corporation, in your organization. You still need to have a directory. And you cannot use it in order to authenticate locally your users or computers. What I mean is you cannot use it to log on, to make a logon session on a desktop PC or laptop PC or whatever in your own on-premises network. So you still need to have domain controllers to have your own directory. And WAD is just a service that supports cloud services, like those provided by Microsoft, of course, like Windows Azure, Office 365, you know, Dynamics CRM Online, Windows Intune, and so on. But also your own custom solutions. And we are here. Okay, this is the map of the session. You are here. But what kind of identities can we use in order to authenticate users through WAD and so also in our custom software solutions? Well, WAD supports three flavors of identities. The so-called cloud identities, the synchronized identities, and the federated identities. This slide is just for your quick reference. And then I will go step by step to explain every single kind of identity management technique. The first one, the cloud identities, allows us to create users on WAD. And those users will live only in WAD, in the tenant, in the directory service, under the cover of our tenant. We can create users using Office 365 and the management portal of Office 365. We can create users using the Azure management portal. And it's exactly the same. If you create a user from one side or from the other side, it will be available on both sides. And you can also use PowerShell scripting if you want. But whenever you create a user, you will have to manually, or using the Graph API, associate that user's or those users to the licenses, because the users management is another story aside from the licensing management story. And if you create cloud identities, you can have custom rules for managing password, password expiration policies, and so on, related only to the online world, only to the cloud identities. And this is a solution for managing your identities that usually is suitable for small companies, which can also be without an on-premises Active Directory. If you have only mobile users and you don't have a headquarter, you don't have a domain controller, you don't have a network inside your company, but you have only mobile users, you can think about using the cloud identities and store user profiles only on the cloud. It's an option. And it's an highly available option because it relies only on services and software tools provided on the cloud through the Microsoft infrastructure. So highly available and highly scalable. So not that bad, to tell the truth. But if you have a directory service on-premises, probably you would like to have your on-premises user able to authenticate against Office 365 and using any other software solution around WAD using their own on-prem credentials. So you can also consider using the synchronized identities, which uses a deep sync tool which synchronizes or replicates the users you have on-prem to the directory you have online in WAAD. In order to use deep sync, you don't need to have complex topologies on-prem because you will simply need to have one server running one software tool, and this software tool is not able to run in a multi-server environment, so you can't have high availability for this tool because it can only run on one server. And as long as it works, it is okay. In case of failure, you simply will need to set up another server and restart the synchronization with the new server. In the meantime, between a failure of the deep sync server and the rebuilding of a new server from scratch, you will have a lack of synchronization, but your user will be still available on the cloud because they will be those synchronized the last time. So it is still highly available because when your end users authenticate against WAD, they use an authentication UI and an infrastructure of services provided by Microsoft, as like as it was before. So scalable and highly available. And the deep sync tool is just a software tool which synchronizes users, contacts, and groups from objects inside your local on-prem AD to the online one. It works on a single forest domain. It cannot work with multiple forests or third-party LDAP providers, but you can use Forefront Identity Manager for this purpose. And just in case, ask to MCS or Microsoft Partner to do that. This is a tool that is really useful in hybrid scenarios because you could have users on-prem and the same users on the cloud sharing some services, some of them provided on-prem and some other provided on the cloud, like Exchange, Link, or SharePoint in hybrid scenarios. And by default, this tool synchronizes objects every 3 hours and password every 2 minutes. Okay? Synchronizes password. Let me explain it better. Deep sync, if you want, and only if you want, can synchronize not only objects like users, groups, and contacts, but also passwords of your users. But in reality, it does not replicate the clear value of your password. It simply synchronizes the hashes of your password. Okay? And through the password hash synchronization, your end user will be able to authenticate on-prem and on the cloud when consuming cloud services using exactly the same set of credentials, the same username and the same password they have on-prem. And this is good. But this is not a single sign-on user experience. They will have to do multiple authentications with the same set of credentials, OK? All this stuff is totally transparent for Active Directory and the domain controllers, because the DirSync tool simply reads content from the Active Directory repository and replicates the content onto the cloud, onto WAAD. As I told you, single forest. And just in case of need, you can override password policies on the cloud if you have different password policies on the on-premises. The third option we have, and the last one, is called the federated identities. Through federated identities, what happens is that we can use Active Directory Federation Services, which is a service provided by Windows Server and which has been greatly improved in Windows Server 2012 R2, in order to provide authentication services to WAAD in a federated environment so that you will still have to install a DirSync server to synchronize and to replicate objects from on-prem to the cloud. But your end users will provide their credentials in a logon page that will be made available by Active Directory Federation Services on your own on-premises environment, or they will be able to experience a single sign-on logon using their account, the account that they use to log on to their desktop PC, and to access directly with a single sign-on experience Office 365, as well as any other software solution that will be federated with WAAD, using, of course, the same tenant under the cover. Because the authentication is provided by your on-premises infrastructure, this third solution is really interesting because it provides single sign-on experience to the users. But the high availability of the solution is on your charge. So keep this in mind. If you have a not scalable or not HA infrastructure on your own premises environment, in case if your on-prem environment fails, stops, for whatever reason, your internet connection goes down, just to make an example, your end users will not be able to access not only the local environment, but also Office 365. So this is good to have a single sign-on experience, but it is riskful if you don't plan properly your on-prem topology and infrastructure. By the way, using this kind of real-time integration, you will be able to instantly disable or delete users. If you delete a user on-prem, it will be deleted also from the Office 365 viewpoint, from the WAAD viewpoint. And if you have a password expiration policy or something like that, that password expiration policy will be the same for on-prem and for on-cloud users. So in order to keep high availability for a solution based on federated identity and Active Directory Federation Service, let me suggest you a possible solution, a suitable solution. That is, leveraging on the cloud, on, for instance, Windows Azure infrastructure as a service or virtual machines on Windows Azure, in order to provide the Active Directory Federation Services infrastructure in an highly available solution. So what you can do is to keep your on-premises local directory, your Active Directory on-prem, your infrastructure on-prem, and then you can create on Windows Azure VMs, a set of highly available virtual machines that will have to be joined to your on-prem domain. And you will leverage a virtual private network between Windows Azure and your on-prem infrastructure in order to make your online, your on-the-cloud servers synchronized with those on-prem. So the overall result will be that you will have your Active Directory on-prem, you will have a VPN to Windows Azure, and on Windows Azure, you will have an Active Directory server, which will be a replica of the one available on-prem, completely on-prem, let me say. A DirSync server that will synchronize your on-premises domain with Office 365, and a set of Active Directory Federation services and Active Directory Federation services proxies to provide the ADFS infrastructure. Using this kind of topology, you have the high availability, and you have single sign-on, and you win, because your users are happy, and you are happy, okay? You pay a little bit, but you are happy, okay? Not that much. It will be more expensive to have the same infrastructure on-prem. I have some of my customers using this kind of infrastructure, this kind of topology, and to tell the truth, they are really happy because it's overall quite cheap and really highly available. So let me show you this kind of solution in place. So let me go back to my local environment. Let me close my session on Windows Azure, and let me open another one. Here I have a Windows Azure subscription in which I have quite a complex topology of virtual machines for hosting a SharePoint farm, which I use for demos and testing purposes, usually, as well as a federated farm, which is federated with WAD and with Office 365. If I go under the virtual machine section, here I have some virtual machines that are running. In a few seconds, you will see them. And some other which are deallocated because I'm not using them right now. And so I don't want to spend money for nothing. Here you can see I have two domain controllers, which are two domain controllers because from a configuration viewpoint, this domain controller will share the same availability set, which in Windows Azure means they will be fault tolerant in case of any failure in the hardware part of the story, or because Microsoft has to apply any fix, any update, any patch on the host machine, it will be able to do that on a single machine in the availability set per time, so that you will have at least one virtual machine available during maintenance or something like that. So I have my two domain controllers in the same availability set to have at least one domain controller available every single moment of my life, 99-95% to tell the truth. That is quite a good result. Then I have a DirSync server. Let me go back. I have a DirSync 1 server, which is running, and which is the only one I could have, as I told you. But I already have prepared a DirSync 2 server, so that in case of any failure of the DirSync 1, my only recovery action will be stop the failing one, start the other one, launch the wizard, and I'm done. I'm again synchronized and ready to work. I don't pay for a deallocated machine, so it's a good idea to keep it ready, just in case. I have two ADFS servers, and these ADFS servers share the same availability set, again, for better availability of the service. And I have two ADFS proxy servers, which again share the same availability set. So through this kind of topology, I can have an highly available federated environment. And what is the user experience using this kind of environment? Well, if I try to access Office 365, going again to portal.microsoftonline.com, as soon as I will provide a username which corresponds to a user that is defined on-prem and which is federated with WAD, as you will see, my web browser will be redirected to the login page provided by ADFS. So providing the username at sharepoint-cam.com login name, as soon as I will click on the password or I will do a tab, as you can see, the browser will be redirected to another login page, which will be the one provided by ADFS. This login page is a little bit horrible, okay? But in ADFS 3.0, you can easily customize it. So if you use Windows Server 2012 R2, you can easily customize this page. You can put in colors and whatever you want. I'm a developer and IT pro guy, so I use this one, which is really nice for me. It's the best I can do. Okay? This is my login name. And here is my password. Sign in. And I am in. I am in Office 365. This is my user profile. I log in using the ADFS infrastructure, relying on my on-prem domain controllers and Active Directory infrastructure. But now I'm logged in Office 365 as well. Okay? And if I would have been an end user on that network, I would have been a single sign-on experience, and I would have been able to access the Office 365 services without providing my password anymore. I just need to provide my password when logging in on the desktop session. So let me sign out now, and let me close it. Now, back to the slide for a while. Okay. And let's move our focus on federating software solutions with this kind of directory service, because we saw what is it, WAD. We saw that we can manage different flavors of identities, and we can also have the federated identities that allows us to use our on-premises authentication infrastructure federated with WAD. Now, we will see how we can create custom software solution that leverage the same infrastructure. So, the overall goal is to support authentication, and if you want, authorization as well, in custom web application or native applications, apps, whether Windows 8, Windows Phone, iOS, Android, whatever you like, using the same engine. So that you can solve the so-called bring your own device scenario, because your end users will be able to use their desktop PC while sitting in the company at their desk with a single sign-on experience, for instance, using the federated identities. And they will be able, outside the corporate network, to consume custom apps or web application using exactly the same set of credentials so that their experience will be absolutely better. And we can also use this kind of directory service, which is WAD, to provide software as a services in a secure way. Because as you will see in a few minutes, what we can do is to use this service not only for authenticating users by themselves, but also to give them access to REST-based APIs that will be used by our custom apps. So, first of all, what you can do is to federate your tenant with an out-of-the-box available app, because in reality, there is already a marketplace of business apps available. There are more than 500. They are offered in a software as a service model, and when you access the management portal of Windows Azure and you go to the directory service, to the tenant of your Windows Azure Active Directory service, you can add apps from a store. If the tenant you are using is related to an Office 365 tenant, you will find by default the Office 365 Outlook web app and the SharePoint Online apps already configured for you. But you can add as many other apps as you like. Just browse for them, pay for them if you want to pay. It depends on the marketplace. But you can also federate custom applications. That is our focus. There is a kind of wizard available that allows us to add an application for my organization to use, which drives you to the marketplace. Or I can add an application that my organization is developing, which drives you to another wizard that will allow you to configure a web application or a web API, or, on the other side, a native app. Pay attention that the native app is still under preview. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's under preview. Okay, keep in mind. It mainly works, but sometimes it happens that because it's in preview, they do maintenance, and it can't work. You have to provide a name and the kind of application you want to federate. Then, in case you select a web application, you have to provide the URL and the app ID, which is a URI, a uniform resource identifier, which has to be unique. So every single app you will federate will have a unique URI, a unique app ID. Moreover, you have to configure what kind of capabilities you want to provide to that federated app. At least you have to provide a single sign-on capability in order to authenticate users, so that you will use WAD to authenticate the users of your app. But you can also add read capabilities against the directory data. That means you will be able to read the repository under the cover of the WAD tenant. And if you want, you can also have give a write access. So read and write. The read and the read and write permissions will allow the app to consume the Graph API that is published by WAD. And at the very end of this session, we will see a demo of that. So, if you want to federate a web application, on the web application side, you will have to consume WS Federation Passive Requester if you want to provide a web-based UI application, or you will have to consume or to support OAuth 2.0 if you want to provide a web API federated app. And you can do both of them within the same web app if you want. So the only requirement are those. There is not a requirement of having, ASP.NET or something like that. So it is an open platform, okay? And this is great. So you simply need to have a web application or a web API or both of them supporting these specs. And can be ASP.NET, PHP, Java, whatever. And it can even be a SharePoint app. For instance, a provider-hosted app for SharePoint. And in fact, at the very end of this session, the last demo will be a provider-hosted app for SharePoint using the Graph API to consume the directory content, the directory data. So, it can seem a little bit complex to create a federated web app, but it isn't, in particular if you use .NET. So if you use PHP, Java, or whatever, you will have to do all this stuff on your own church, or you will have to use third-party libraries. But if you use Visual Studio and if you use .NET, you will only need, let me move to my virtual environment, to create a web application, I'm in Visual Studio 2013. You can create a web application. Let me call it SPC421 Demo Web App. You will have to make a choice of what you want to do, a web form, an MVC, a web API. Maybe you know that in Visual Studio 2013, you have the so-called one ASP.NET. That means you can do whatever you want. You can mix and match all the development techniques within the same web application. This time, I will do an MVC web app, which could have also web API or not. It depends. In my case, it will be just an MVC app. And by clicking on the Change Authentication button, I can configure these options. The first one is the easiest, no authentication. Okay? Self-explanatory. Individual accounts. You can use a SQL Server database, or you can authenticate your users for this specific app against Twitter, Facebook, or whatever else. You can have Windows authentication if you want to use Windows Integrated Security. But you can also have organizational accounts, which is what I'm interested in, because through this option, I can configure my web application to be federated with WAID. I have to make a choice between using a single organization, so single tenant, cloud service, that will be a federation with WAID with a single tenant, or a multi-tenant one if I am, for instance, creating a provider hosted app for SharePoint and I want to support multiple tenants with the same engine. Or we can also configure the on-premises organizational account that under the cover means you will use ADFS. Okay? So if you have Active Directory Federation Services on-prem and you don't have WAD and you don't have Office 365, okay, this is not the proper session, but you could use ADFS. Okay? All on-prem. And if you select cloud single organization, which is my scenario, can provide the name of the tenant. I have to make a choice against the access level I want to have, single sign-on plus read, single sign-on plus read and write, the same I had in Windows Azure. I can customize the app ID URI, or I can use the one out of the box provided by the wizard. And as soon as I will click OK, I will have to provide the credentials of a global admin account so that this global admin account will be able to provision for me the federated app on WAD. Let me try. Sign in. Click OK. Now we have organizational out on this tenant. And if I click OK again, Visual Studio will provision for me this web app on WAD and will prepare the code to consume WAD from this web app. And now I can simply click F5. And as you can see, I'm going to localhost. And to log in Windows.NET, because in reality, I'm consuming an app, which is a web app, which is provided by my local IIS Express. But because I configured my web application in order to use cloud-based authentication against an organizational account directory, my browser has been redirected to the login page of WAD and of Office 365, so that I can access, using an organizational account, my web application. And as you can see, let me zoom it. From an ASP.NET viewpoint, I'm the user defined on the Office 365 tenant. Pretty easy. Thank you. Thank you. But now I want to make you more happy. F5 again. Let's go again to login. And let's choose the multi-factor authentication. And it's almost the same. I want to get another SMS because I don't pay for them. I give my password. Where is my phone? Here it is. Pop up the volume. And I will get, sooner or later, the text message with the code. Here it is. 260. Oh, I need new glasses. 967. And as well as before, now I'm authenticated. I guess so. Now I'm authenticated, and I will be this user, authenticated through multi-factor authentication in my own custom web solution. That is great. And you can imagine, I can do exactly the same using ADFS as well. So if you want, we can do that, but it will be exactly the same. I will put inside the login form the username of a user federated, and I will be redirected to ADFS in order to provide my credentials, and then I will be redirected back to my web application as the user on sharepoint-cam.com. You want to see it? You trust me? Don't trust me. You want to see it? F5, one more time, the last one. Yes, we are on time. Just checking. So, this time I will provide my on-prem credentials. And I will be redirected to the logon page of ADFS so that I will be able, sharepoint-cam.com, to authenticate using my on-prem credentials. And you can imagine that this web application is consumed by someone outside the corporate network using any kind of device, a tablet, even an iPad. It works even on an iPad, not only on a Surface, okay? And now I'm logged in again. So this is cool, I guess. But this is just a part of the story. Because quite often, we have not only web applications, but also native apps, apps on our mobile devices, mobile phones, tablets, and so on. And we can use the same authentication engine in this kind of apps as well. What we need to do is to register the app. So, because we will use OAuth 2.0, we will have to register the app and get back a client ID and a shared secret. If you know about OAuth, you understand me. If you don't know about OAuth, sorry about that. I don't have time enough to explain how OAuth works, but send me an email and I will give you back some references. By the way, we need a kind of authentication technique from the app viewpoint so that the app will be able to authenticate itself, against the WAD server. Because we need to use OAuth 2.0. And we need to acquire an OAuth 2.0 token through the client ID and share secret so that we will be able to use that token making all of our requests against the online cloud services that we want to consume. And from a technical viewpoint, the access token that we get back from OAuth has to be put inside an HTTP header if we want to consume a REST service. And this HTTP header is an authentication header with a bearer name and a value, which will be the access token. I will show you the details later. So that we can consume any kind of REST API, which will be defined, which will be configured in our WAAD directory service. It can be the Graph API, of course, because it is available out of the box in WAAD. But it can also be any other REST API that we created by ourselves. It's a little bit complex to imagine the client ID, the shared secret, give me the token, okay, I have the access token, let me put an HTTP header inside the REST request, and so on. Okay, maybe we are developers and we like this kind of life. Maybe, maybe not. It depends. So we could have some help from an Active Directory Authentication Library 4.NET. which is called Edel. It's a library provided by Microsoft, which is in RTM for .NET, and which is still in beta for Windows Store apps. And it is available on NuGet, or you can download it from Microsoft download. And this library provides us with helper classes and methods to authenticate, get back an access token, refresh the access token when it expires, and also to cache the tokens we get back in order to easily manage the authentication part of the story. And it works both with WAD if you are on the cloud, or with ADFS 3.0, because one of the biggest news of ADFS 3.0, the one provided by Windows Server 2012 R2, is not only that you can customize the login page, but also that it supports OAuth 2.0. So, back to my demos. Now, let me close the demo web app. And let me access our tenant. So let me go to Windows Azure, providing my organizational account, this one. Under the Applications tab of my Active Directory service, I will be able to see that I have, first of all, the web application that we created before. Here it is. This one is the web application that we created. And as you can see, if I click on it, and I click on Configure, I can see that I have the endpoint, the client ID, the app ID URI, and so on. But I already have configured a bunch of apps. I have a web API app, and I have a federated store app. Let me show you the web API first. This web API has a unique ID, which is this one, psisdev.microsoft.com, the name of the project defining the web API. And I also have the store app. As you can see, they underline that it is in preview. Sorry about that. Okay. Can you see it? And under the Configure tab, I can see that I have a client ID. I have a URL that will be used just after user authentication to redirect the users and to intercept that the user has been authenticated. I will show you how in a few seconds. And then I have that this app, from a permissions viewpoint, can consume the Windows Azure AD Graph API, as well as the other web API that I just showed you. So that now I will play the Windows Store app, and then I will show you a little bit of code and inner workings. We will be able to have a Windows Store app which will authenticate our users using the same infrastructure as before. But let me say one thing. When I had to create this demo, first of all, I thought about the well-known NordVPN database. I said, okay, I can do a demo in order to create new orders, to consume the list of customers, and so on. Okay, everybody knows about the NordVPN database, right? However, we are at the SharePoint conference, which is in Las Vegas. And you know, many of you are here not because of SharePoint, but because of Las Vegas, because you like gambling. So I thought that probably the demo could be better this way. Okay? So, if you want to do gambling, make your bet. I have $10 to play. Anybody want to play? Okay, we can play with a roulette. The REST API provided to my app will be a randomly, or more or less random, roulette. I always win. It works this way. I don't know why, but. Okay, so if I make a roulette guess, my Windows Store app will call a REST API which uses WAD to authenticate requests. So as soon as I will have clicked the make a roulette guess, First of all, my end user will have to authenticate. Of course, this is a demo, so I want to show you the authentication page. But in a real environment, you could have single sign-on if you have configured it. So let me provide, what do you want to do? Cloud only, multi-factor, federated, just one? Choose one? Hmm?
Federated.
Okay. It doesn't work. No, just kidding. Okay. But I will cross my fingers. SharePoint-camp.com. Oops, I'm redirected to ADFS, of course, because I have to log in against the ADFS environment. paolo.pialorsi@sharepointcamp.com. My password. Because I'm using ADFS, the Windows runtime engine will ask me if I want to save this information for the next time, but I will skip because this is a demo. Wonderful. Special effects. Oh my God. What's happening? The REST API is not running. It's my fault, not a WAD fault. Sorry about that, guys. I was so focused on the roulette that I forgot to start the API. This is my web API. Let me play F5. I told you that it wouldn't work, so it's okay. It's planned. Okay, this is the web application with the API under the cover, and I have the API/roulette method available as a REST API. And if I try again with the same set of credentials so that you can trust me, because you know that you don't completely trust me, and maybe you are right. My wife don't trust me as well. It's good, it's right, I guess. Cross your fingers. Oh, zero green, I'm rich, okay. It's really random, so. But okay, this is the game. By the way, aside from the game, thank you very much. What you can see in this fancy text area is the access token, okay, just for showing you what's happening. And let me close the app and let me show you a few more things. You should have time enough to do that. Sure. Can I? This is an IT pro session, but we have also some developers, so sorry about that. I will show 5 minutes of code, okay? You can go out and come back later. Okay. I will show you. Give me the question was about how can I authorize from the app perspective. I will show you. Keep trusting me, and I will show you. Okay. So let me go to the API. The API by itself, here it is, as a roulette controller, an MVC API controller, with a play method provided through HTTP GET, which will have an authorized attribute so that, first of all, in order to consume this API, at least you will have to be authenticated. But inside the API method, I will be able to access through the current principle. This is stuff for developers, sorry about that. But I can access the current principle. And inside the current principle, as I will show you at the next run, I will have all the claims of the claim identity describing my end user. So I will be able to do whatever I want. OK? So let me place a breakpoint. This is the random number generator, and it is really random. So the zero green was my my opportunity in my life. So it has gone. And this is the API. On the other side, I have the Windows Store app, which, first of all, in the capabilities, has to declare these capabilities. Enterprise authentication in order to have single sign-on inside my corporate network. Internet access in order to being able to access the services online, private networks for the private network side of the world, and share user certificate in case of need. So those are the capabilities that I need to set inside my app manifest. Moreover, I will give you the demo, so don't be worried about writing notes or something like that. The app by itself, under the cover, has a get roulette button with a click event in which, just for demo purposes, I clear the cache, the token cache that by default ADAL provides me. So by default, as soon as I will have authenticated one time, I will have a cache. But because this is a demo and I want to change user identities every single time, I every single time clear the cache. Remove this line in real code. Then I use an authentication context class, which will target my tenant. Which will target my tenant. And through this authentication context type, I acquire a token asynchronously because I'm in Windows 8. And I want to acquire a token in order to consume the unique ID which identifies the target REST API. I provide my client ID and the URL that will be used as the redirect URL so that the UI asking me for my credentials is called Web Authentication Broker. It's a control available in Windows runtime out of the box. Under the cover, the authentication context class uses the Web Authentication Broker. And as soon as the Web Authentication Broker will authenticate my user, get back the JWT token, which is under the cover of this authentication phase, and will redirect to this URL, the authentication context will be able to understand that the user has been authenticated and will close the Web Authentication Broker. I can also provide some ints from the UI perspective and a set of additional query parameters that will be used while calling this URL. If the authentication succeeds, I can get the token, the access token. I can wait for a while just to stress a little bit the audience. And then I call the Roulette API, which is just an HTTP client request with the authorization bearer token, as I told you, and I get the result as a string. And that's all. So if I play it again, because I placed a breakpoint inside the REST API method, let me log on with the fastest technique just for the sake of getting some more time because now I'm a little bit late. Now, here I am. Inside this variable, I will be able to see that I have a claims principle with a set of claims in it, and the claims will describe my user identity, and I can authorize my user based on this claim. I have the UPN, I can have any custom claims, or name, given name, and whatever else. I'm going fast, not only because I'm late, but also because I don't want to get a timeout, okay? But it's clear now, you can authorize based on these claims. So you have claim-based authentication and authorization. That's fine. Okay, so back again to my slide deck. Last topic, the Graph API. Because the out-of-the-box available API that we have with WAD is the Graph API, which, as I told you, allows us to do read and write access to the repository of WAD via REST, representational stateful transfer. Tenant scoped, so we focus our attention on a specific tenant and we use the Graph API targeting that tenant. And what we can do is to access users, groups, contact, tenant information, roles, and licenses. Don't underestimate the licenses part of the story, because through the licenses part, you can automatically or by code assign licenses to users. So let's say you have a federated identity. So you have your on-prem Active Directory federated with Office 365. Well, you have 10,000 users, okay? You synchronize them. Now you have to give on each of these users a valid license. You can do it by hand. If you have time enough, you can do. But you can do it using the Graph API so that you can automate the process and you can keep in sync the licenses so that, for instance, whenever you create a new user on-prem, it will be synchronized with Office 365 and using a trigger that you can intercept, you can automatically assign a license for, let me say, OneDrive Business to that user. Okay? And if you delete a user, you can delete the subscription as well. It's really powerful. Through this API, you can navigate based on relationship all the objects, and you will have a JSON or an Open Data Protocol response. Under the cover, it uses OAuth 2.0. So that if you have an application that want to consume the Graph API, that application will have to ask to the Windows Azure Active Directory authentication engine a token to being able to access the Graph API. It will request the token providing the target tenant, the client ID, and the shared secret. It will get back a JWT token, and using that JWT token, it will be able to query the Graph API or to write against the Graph API, it will get back a response. So, let me show you the last demo, and then we will be almost ready. So, back to my VM. Let me close it. I can stop the volume now because we don't need the sound effects anymore. And this is a SharePoint hosted app, and this is a web browser. First of all, I want to start with the web browser. Microsoft provides us with a Windows Azure hosted web application, which is the graphexplorer.cloudapp.net, which allows us to play with the Graph API simply using a browser, just for testing and inspection purposes. Let me sign in with my organizational account. Now I'm logged in. I can access my tenant. I can get access to the list of users, for instance. I can access a specific user, like the one federated. I can access specific properties of that user, like the surname. If I'm not wrong, there is a surname property. Yes, it is. Okay, so you have a web-based UI just to play around it. But in reality, you could have a real application, like this web application, which is a provider-hosted app for SharePoint, which in the web application uses, let me show you, the Active Directory authentication library in order to authenticate against WAAD, as like as it was in the Windows Store app. And it uses also a Graph Helper library, which is available on the code samples of MSDN, so that you can approach the Graph API as a fully typed graph of objects. In fact, in my page, my default page, let me show you the result first and the code after, just to make it more clear. If I hit F5 in order to deploy on SharePoint Online this provider hosted app, provide my credentials, I sign in, deployment will start. In a few seconds, the app will be ready and running. My web application will allow me to get a bearer token, an access token from the OAuth engine, and then using that token, I will be able to retrieve the list of users defining my directory. So here is the app that is starting. Let me log in one more time. Here is the app working on it. Okay. I can get the bearer token by itself if I want. But I can also get the list of users in my WAAD directory. And as you can see, they are always the same users. And under the cover, what is happening? That by clicking on the Retrieve Users button, I raise this event where I get the client ID and the client secret, which are in the web.config file of my web application. I have to define the target tenant and the target authority, which will be WAAD. I have to use an app ID to say which REST API I want to consume. And then, almost like we did before, I create a set of credentials based on the client ID and on the client secret. I create an authentication context object instance, providing the target authority, which will be the union of my WAD tenant, WAD service and my tenant. And then I will be able to acquire a token as like as we did before in Windows 8. And now, with the token, I can create a JWT token that I will inject inside a directory data service object, which is provided in the sample code available on MSDN, so that this directory data service will get the target tenant and the token as constructor parameters and will give me back the collection of users or of applications and so on. So you can play with the Graph API using a fully typed approach. You can play with it. It's quite fun. So, to wrap up, using Windows Azure Active Directory, you can manage a directory as a service that supports Office 365 but can support your applications as well. You have multiple identity models available out of the box. My suggestion is to seriously consider the federated one using an highly available infrastructure hosted on Windows Azure virtual machines. And you can use this kind of stuff to create real business value software solution, whether based on web or apps, that can consume in a safe and secure way REST APIs or provided by Windows Azure AD out of the box, like the Graph API, or custom APIs provided by you and developed by you. So that's all for me. Thank you very much for attending this session. Please evaluate because we need it. Thank you so much.